Mr. Bond, we've been expecting you.
No, it's not Hervé Verchaise, but Rob London here from What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with a feeling of autumn in the air, where are my two seasonal falling podcasters? Firstly, as the nights draw in, a man no doubt stocked up to the hilt with fine wines and bespoke cheese, all for his forthcoming hibernation, it's Sam Sankey.
Bonjour.
And no matter how dark the months ahead become, somewhere out there, on a cold, dimly lit back road, this old lad will still be travelling the length and breadth of the British Isles. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell!
All right.
Now, we'll start with you, Dennis. You've got your camera turned off today, mate, because we find you further afield than ever before.
That's right. I'm in. It's still popularised in open Scotland. But I found the best campsite with Wi-Fi. I'm literally 10 feet from the mast and we're still struggling. So I've been off grid for so long now, I've no idea what the fuck's going on. So I was hoping that this podcast could be delivered to me like you're trying to educate me about the Warrington Wolves and how the performance, and then I'll make some kind of conclusion from what you're telling me.
Is it bleak up there, a bit like Warrington's season?
It's not yet. It's actually really nice and a bit sunny. So, but you know, the further we go into the trip, like the season, it could get very dark.
Oh dear. Now you're up in Scotland, but Sam, you've been in Wales this week.
Yes, I've been down on the South Pembrokeshire coast, just outside Tenby. An old-fashioned couple of days as a British seaside, and actually, I was really, really pleasantly surprised how clean everywhere was. Oh. Last time I went there, it was a bit grim.
Shitty.
Well, last time I think we did the pod and we put out a little bit of a competition for where Dennis was at the time. He said he was on a firing range. We did get quite a few emails that came in thinking he was in Pembrokeshire. Where you've been, Sam? There must be a firing range or something in Pembrokeshire.
Well, actually, I went for a run along the beach, and the Pembrokeshire Coastal Path goes along the beach, up a headland, and then you can come back between the golf course and a military firing range. And as I was running past it, and it said, do not cross this fence, an image of Dennis did come to mind.
Right, well, should we get on with this? I mean, you're up a mountain, Dennis. I don't want you to get hypothermia.
Well, just before we do, I mean, it's probably worthwhile, because it's one of the last ones anyway, is that me and Sam are on a secret mission from Ralph Rimmer to spread the word of rugby league to all countries of the UK, you see. That's brilliant. Why we're doing this.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
I was having a discussion with a guy. Actually, I was ticking lots of boxes. He was in a wheelchair. He was in a powered wheelchair in a cafe in Tenby spreading the gospel about rugby league.
Oh. You can't have powered wheelchairs. In wheelchair rugby.
Right, well, I'm moving on to Leeds because you two have clearly been drinking something in the water. Jesus. Unbelievable. Okay, the Leeds game starts a few days before the game in Darryl Powell's 21-man squad. There were four new faces in halfback Leon Hayes, forwards Luke Thompson, Tom Whitehead and Adam Holroyd. The 17 that took to the field were Dufty, Mannequin, he may as well be, Matautier, Wardle, Ashton, Williams and Dean came back in at 7 for Ratchford, Mulhern, Walker, Bullock, Curry, Harrison and Holmes had a go at 13. Interchange bench was Darryl Clark, Jason Clark and Adam Holroyd and Luke Thompson made the starting lineup. So even though it's killing me, here are the highlights.
Had to go from a standing start, and he almost got through, and he's got the pass away to Myler. Myler's got support on his inside. Ash Hanley, can he go the last 5 metres? Of course he can! And Ash Hanley scores the first points on his 150th Super League appearance. To Riley Dean. Dean puts a kick through, it's ricocheted, it comes back to Dean, there's a gap opened up and Dean slides through for the Wolves. Fortune for Warrington there as Dean put the kick through, it pinballed off a number of bodies back to Dean and he slid over. First receiver is Caesar onto Smith. Bodies in motion down that right-hand side. It's gone away, the tackle, and Reece Martin is in! Leeds just won't let the ball die! From left to right they came, and Martin went through the Wolves' line. About 15 metres out on the left-hand post. Smith on this left side goes short. Morgan Gannon, can he carry? Tackles over the line. Has he got it down? I think he might have done. The referee is going to give the try, and Morgan Gannon has scored 3 tries in 2 games. Just over 60 seconds to play. Off it goes. There's a chase on the outside for Leeds. It's going to come down on the 20. Dufty jumps for it. Dufty's lost it, and the Riders have got it here. And there goes Dane Tetovano under the post for Leeds. Hurt? No, he's not. He's hurt. It was Bentley, I think it was. Out it comes for the Wolves. There's a chance for Wardle in the corner, and Jake Wardle scores the first points of the second half for the Warrington Wolves. Leeds Rhinos concede. I just can't look. It's killing me. Ten metres out, Warrington allowed to play on. Williams pokes a kick through. Can Leeds get numbers back? They can't. Warrington have pounced. And this game is not over yet.
Well, on the bright side of things, there were tries for Dean, Wardle and Curry, and Metautier kicked 3 goals in the absence of Ratchford. But nevertheless, it still left a final score of Leeds 24, Warrington 18. Who wants to start? Dennis, have you seen the highlights?
No. And don't forget, like I opened up, I think you need to educate me on this, because I've been offline for so long now. I've no idea what's going on. So tell me a bit about what happened.
Well, if you want to just listen back to about the last 12 podcasts, that should give you an idea, Dennis, to be fair.
Oh, God. All right. I know we basically had got a lead and stuff, but yeah, it dwindled away, didn't it?
Well, young Daniel went to the game. He sent me a message. Daniel said, an improvement in the second half, but our lacklustre defence during the first half and the inability to convert possession into points cost Warrington the game. I mean, you've been preaching that all year, haven't you, Sam?
I have. And I've got something a little later, in particular on our inability to convert chances into points. I've got to say, I'd given up on this. The moment we beat Toulouse, I've put the pen down, couldn't be arsed anymore, queue on the rack, all that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised by the second half comeback, if we call it a comeback. At half-time, I thought, this is going to get very, very messy. Expecting 40 points. I don't know if Daniel said how much of the second half was down to Leeds dropping off or was improving or a bit of both. But we did, obviously, make a big effort in that second half to pull things around.
They're a bit up and down, Leeds, aren't they? I'm not convinced by Leeds. I know they get on one and their fans get on one, etc., but I just don't think they're the real deal. I think they're a little bit up and down, and maybe they had a bad 40. You may have heard that was the BBC Radio Leeds commentary there in the highlights. I had to listen to a little bit more of it when I cut and paste that together today. And gee, talk about biased. Christ almighty.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Every pass that Warrington threw was forward. Everything Warrington did was lucky. Oh, I tell you what, wasn't good. Let's have a listen to what Daryl Powell had to say in his post-match interview.
We could have done with a little bit more clarity in good box. We had a lot of opportunity, and we got a little bit frantic. We couldn't quite get what we want. They defended pretty well, I thought. And we were unlucky with a kick that we knocked on. But so I thought, I actually said that it felt a little bit better than the game, first game of the season here, you know, because I think there's something coming. You can sense it and see it and feel it. And you know, I love the two young boys making their debuts, and I think there's a few things happening within the team. You know, we've got Riley Dean playing at half there today. You've got Jimmy Harrison, who I think's been class, absolutely class, and is going to be an unbelievable player. And then we've got those two young bucks coming and playing, and thought Adam Allroyd was especially good. And then Luke Thomas comes off the bench and nearly scores with his first touch. So, look, I was really pleased with a lot of today. Obviously, the second half. Thought it could have gone one or two ways because Leeds were playing really well and expansive, and everything was sticking for them. And the game just completely flipped in the second half. And whilst we didn't get everything right, I thought we did a lot of things, and our effort and commitment to what we're trying to do was fantastic, I thought.
Well, I'll start by saying I think Darryl's getting a little bit confused because he mentioned in the interview there that Luke Thomas scored with his first touch. He didn't. He was held up over the line. So I'm a little bit concerned by Darryl there. What I thought about this one, though, was that, I mean, he mentioned it about Warrington being soft. I caught about 10 minutes of the Wigan Saints game on, I think it was Friday or Saturday morning. And just the sheer aggression, Sam, in both sets of forwards. I mean, it was a fight. Not just purely in the contact of the tackle, but also in the grapple as well. You know, both sides really fighting to dominate in every single tackle. And it reminded me very much of Melbourne versus the Chooks, which was a game the NRL had, I think, on Friday night. Again, just the competitiveness of both sets of forwards, although the big difference was just the skill level. The NRL was just so far ahead of Wigan and Saints. But on both sides of the hemisphere, aggression that we don't have, Sam.
Well, yeah, and I would agree, not only would I agree with that, I know exactly where you're coming from with it. And I've felt for a while now that we're not strong enough, we're not nasty enough in some ways. And when I looked at the overall statistics, we are the second best team at conceding penalties. And by that, I mean we're conceding the second fewest penalties of all the teams. So in a way, it suggests we're a bit too nice. Until you see that the best team at not conceding penalties is Wigan. So it is possible to be aggressive and keep clean as well.
Mm. You've said it this year, Dennis, on numerous occasions that we just don't bend our backs when it comes to tackling. And I watched Wigan and Saints. Boy, they defend their lines well. It's like their lives depend on it. You know, it's really hard to get over. Whereas listening to the commentary over these last couple of games, oh, hang on, the opposition's got the ball near our line. It's only a matter of time. A couple of tackles later and they waltz in.
Yeah. What you don't see on statistics for Super League, but you do see it in the NRL, is play the ball speeds. So what you don't know is, I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago that our tackle percentage is actually very good. But are we just making the tackle cleanly, efficiently, but then getting off them? Or are we dominating the opposition in the tackle and actually putting them back, putting them on their back, and it's taking them longer to play the ball? Or are we simply taking them down, they're up quicker than we are, and off they go again?
There was a Twitter video put up this week by the club, and it was the final where Brett Hodgson was playing for Warrington at Wembley. And there was sort of extended highlights. I went to YouTube and had a look at it. My goodness, there's some animals in that pack. Hmm. We've got Trent Waterhouse knocking hell out of everything. We've got Westwood knocking hell out of everything. We've got Morley. We've got the Andersons. It just goes on and on and on. A bunch of thugs, every one of them. You know, and just
are we
also
going to have that next year, though, when we've got, like, you know, Vaughan and Maguire? No?
I don't think so. Well, just one more thing on that. And maybe now it would be seen as obstruction. But when you watch the ball go along our back line with Monaghan and Breers and Brett Hodgson, the amount of dummy runners we have before that ball flows out to Monaghan on the wing, it's fantastic. Just not seen any of that this year. Now, is that coaching? Or is that the players don't have the ability, Dennis? What do you reckon?
Well, I completely missed that because I've just walked to the other side of the Wi-Fi pole. Because you broke up and I thought, oh, I better move now then. I didn't realise you were asking me that question.
When you're coming home?
In 2 weeks' time, if not before, if I run out of food. You know what? I've worked out that the cupboard space can only accommodate 48 Weetabix in the van.
Oh, dear. Well, thankfully for Warrington, Toulouse lost to Wigan. Wakefield, though, managed another win to go level with Wyre on 16 points and 6 valuable points clear of the French side. So, as you said, Sam, really, the queue's gone back in the rack, not with a big break by yourself, just the fact you're conceding the frame.
Yeah, conceding the frame, knowing that I'm still through to the next round.
I'm back. Why are we talking about snooker? Have we moved on? We left rugby league now.
We were just talking about the famous incident where Tony Meo...
Oh, for God's sake, I'm going back up the hill.
Unbelievable. Right, should we move on to Castleford then?
Yes.
Have we got anything more to add on Leeds? Dennis, have you got anything on Leeds at all? Oh, right, go on, off you go.
Is Richie Myler a cheater? Because I know he didn't do it in our game, but I saw that thing he did with Chris Hill as a tenuous link to Warrington.
I didn't think there was much in it, really, apart from the fact they were both faffing about, to be honest. I mean, Hill went for a second little squash of his head. Myler was being a prick, as always. It's incredible, when we put videos out like that, you just sit back and watch it. I think it got up to 45,000 views by whatever it was, by Saturday. And just people, Twitter's such a horrible place, just like going back and to each other. Just
How does that compare, that viewer sort of number, compared to the types of tries we scored? Did they get a similar viewership?
No, they don't. No. I think Mamo's our best one. You know when Mamo had a little bit of a issue with his interview after the game? Can't remember what he said now. I think we hit about 150,000 on that one. But you can just pick it. You think, right, just fish with this one. Just plop it out there on Twitter. Sit back. And it even got two rugby league journalists kicking off at each other in Matthew Shaw and Rod Hall, or whatever his name is. Rod Studd, whatever his name is. Handbags at 10 paces, the pair of them.
He fell off the roof putting a satellite up.
Oh, God love him. God love him. Okay, Castleford then. The team was Tufty, Minikin, Manikin, whatever you want to call him, Matautier, Wardle, Foulis, Ratchford, Williams, Mulhern, Darrell Clark, Bullock, Holmes, Harrison and Joshen Clark had a go at 13. Interchange bench was Curry, Walker, McKaylee and Luke Thomas, although Luke Thomas sat warming his arse on the bench for the full 80 minutes. An excellent opening 15 minutes saw Tufty score his first Wyre try. Ratchford scored 2, along with a couple of successful conversions. Warrington should have added to their lead, but were unable to do so and went in at the break 12-0 up. We just sort of stop there for a second, Sam. You know it's coming, don't you? You know at some point that pack of cards is coming out. And here we go again.
Yeah, you do. And I know we're going to play Darrell's stuff, but even Darrell has decided he's not going to give any clever answers anymore. He's just going to say it like it is. We're fragile.
It did, because in the second half, normal service resumed with Warrington conceding the next 19 points before all too late Matautier scored and Ratchford kicked his third goal to leave the final score of the Warrington Wolves 18, Castleford Tigers 19. Darrell Powell went on to say after the game, "We are where we are. It's almost like we could play a recording back of the previous game. No shit, Sherlock. Even looking at the last 3 weeks, there's been a half in each of the games where we haven't conceded any points. Fortunately, a game of rugby league's 80 minutes, Darrell, not 40. There's something there, but we get rattled and it's bang, bang, bang. We're conceding crazy tries through players not doing their jobs effectively enough. But it's a collective mental difficulty we're faced all year. This has been a tough season for everybody and we're not in a great place, but we're not going to give up the battle." Come on, let's go over to the spin doctor in Scotland. Mr. Waywell, how would you like to answer this one in defence of your client?
Well, you know what? I often use the phrase, we are where we are, because actually Sam's right. That's the sort of thing where you just get realistic with it. And I don't think he's able to do that when there's a threat of relegation and stuff. But it is a degree of honesty. And that's what you want to hear from your coach, is that degree of honesty. Don't put your head in your hands. I think the previous post-match thing where he said he's confused, I was as well, because I obviously said that Leeds had started off, we were in front and we weren't. So obviously he was a bit, you know, he's coming out of the clouds now, I think, in terms of like the hectic pressure of that relegation battle. And now he can start, you know, laying the foundation. Stop it with your hand on your head. And
who was the spin doctor for Blair? What was his name? The one that ended up
Alistair Campbell.
You know, when Alistair Campbell was trying to sort of spin the Iraq war and why we went to war, it does feel a little bit like that with Dennis now, doesn't it? And Mr. Powell.
So have you took your photograph of Daryl off your wall now?
The thing is, right, and Sam said this on more than one occasion, you can't argue with what Powell says after a game. You know, like he sees it the way we see it. But
oh, I've worked out now that you haven't took the poster down, but in like Banksy-esque style, you started to shred it and then stopped it halfway through.
Yeah, we should have done. Yeah, would have been worth more. Did you see Fake or Fortune this week? What a load of shit. What a load of shit.
So we're going from... So what we're doing, we're going from aggressive thugs knocking shit out of each other to Fiona Bruce. Is that where you're taking
us? What, I reckon Fiona Bruce has got far more determination in her than half our pack. No doubt about that. So every week he comes out with, yes, we've done this wrong. Yes, we've been soft in the pack. Yes, we had a half where we didn't play well. We had a half where we played well. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not seeing him put anything right, Sam.
Well, I think this is where we do disagree, isn't it? Your point of view is, if we encapsulate it nicely, you're disappointed that you've not seen any improvement through the last 6 to 10 weeks, aren't you? Let's face it.
I haven't seen any improvement all year.
I've got a metaphor for this.
My view is, it is a shit season. There's no dressing that up. It's been shit. He's pulled what he considers the deadwood or the trouble or the overpaid stars out.
Oh, has Carl Fitzpatrick left?
He's done it in one go. He's pulled that plaster off. And I'm perfectly, perfectly prepared to say, Daryl, you've done what you wanted to do, mate. Go away, pre-season, it's all yours. You've got the team you want for the start of next year. And I do feel, I'm trying to use the correct words here without being funny. I do feel the pressure will be on from day one next year, because you can't then have similar excuses.
But I would say that, you know, like we've not seen anything yet, I would compare it to, you know, not that I'm presenting a spin here, but I would almost say it's like a washing machine. You put your dirty clothes in and you put it on a cycle of washing, and they're the games as they go by, and you don't really see that immediate effect. But what we're hoping is at the end of the season, the start of the new season, that you go to the washing machine, you take it out, and everything's new set of clothes, and, you know, dressing it up in that
way.
I'm seeing it like my washing machine, that I've put all my whites in with one really, really huge purple sock that's gone round, and everything's come out. Well, not everything's come out, because something's got caught in the drum as well, and it's all fucked. And then the pipes come off the wall and the whole laundry's flooded.
I think you missed an opportunity to say you mixed it in with some shitty underpants, didn't you?
Do you want to know the halfback stats, where we stand now?
Yeah, go on.
Who's halfbacks?
Our best halfback is Stephen Ratchford. He's won 36% of his games. Then we've got Metautier and Widdop, both on 33. One not a halfback, the other one left. Williams, our marquee, is down on 32%, and Riley Dean has now slipped into 25%. So it's still falling away, boys.
So what you're saying is, by not playing in the last 2 weeks, Stefan's actually improved his position.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's the way to move up. Well, thankfully for Wyre, Toulouse lost to Catalans, which meant they were relegated, although Wakefield beat Hull KR, leaving Warrington now in a staggering 11th place. Sam, are you still hopelessly devoted to Warrington?
Yes.
If Warrington finish 11th, in their 146-year history, it will be the lowest they have ever finished. I'll just let that one sink in for you, boys.
Even when we had one big league of all the do you mean second bottom?
We have never been second bottom. We've been 16th when there's been a league of 20, but we've never been one off the bottom. Even in 2002, when we flirted with relegation, we ended up finishing 10th. Wakefield and Salford both finished below us. So, two marquee signings, a full salary cap, an academy, a wonderful gymnasium, training facilities. In 146 years, it will be our lowest ever position.
Oh, and Whizzy Rascal.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms, it's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics. Accreditation removed.
Okay. How to make a silk purse out of this pig's ear of a season.
Oh, Jesus.
Lies, damn lies and statistics is this season's, is this week's title.
Sam, I think we've lost Dennis. I think he's gone. Finally.
Thank God for that.
104 episodes. I think he's gone.
So, are we going to say now that every time that Dennis doesn't speak, our listeners go up, and whenever he does his tackle bags, our listening shit goes down, our Patreon
You know what he's like, Sam? You know what he's like, right? You remember when we had Tom Lynham on, and Tom Lynham was a bit of a character, wasn't he? He was a bit, edgy, etc. You know, he's a bit of a loose cannon. Oh, sorry, Dennis is back. Hi, Dennis. How are you, mate? You all right?
I don't think I walk that way. There's no Wi-Fi signal at the shop.
We've just been saying what a wonderful job you do on the podcast.
Have I been giving me notice?
You've not missed a thing. Sam's going to talk about his spreadsheet.
Because we must thank the lovely Lorna Brown, who has updated her spreadsheets and made them available to the public, showing statistics throughout Super League, which made my job a hell of a lot easier, rather than me having to go to the Super League website and manually...
You didn't have
everything.
To do fuck all.
Exactly. But as I started looking through Warrington statistics, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, with our tackle completion is very good. We've made more tackles than others. As I started to look through it, I'm thinking, oh, we're only like second or third. We're second or third best in that column. We're like fourth or fifth best in that column. And we didn't seem to be shit in anything. And yet, as Rob's just pointed out, it's the worst league table finish in our entire history. Or it's likely to be.
146 years.
Yeah.
So he's missed one pink. What? Oh no, he's missed one black, hasn't he? That's
that's
14
point, yeah.
Blacks, yeah. One pink, all the colours.
And and a total clearance. So as I had a look at each column, total metres, tackle percentage, clean breaks, busts, offloads, and I put the whole of Super League down, And wherever a team was, I ranked them first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, down to 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the lowest figure is the best team statistically. Okay. Now, just hold your water, because the game is not played on statistics. It's played on a scoreboard. But if we put...
Hold your water? Meters, Christ, I'm holding onto a poo here because I've had two coffees.
I think there's your name of your, there's the name of this week's podcast, Rob. Anyway, Wolves, total meters, fourth best. Tackle completion percentage, third best. Clean breaks, six. Bust, six. Offload, second best. Missed tackles, fifth best. Penalties conceded, second best. Errors, fifth best. Total points, 33. We are the second best ranked team across those matrices for the season. I'll just let that sink in. The second best team.
Did you say ranked?
Matrix up.
Or wanked.
Yep. Exactly. Second best. Leeds Rhinos best. Warrington second. Wigan third. Giants fourth. So I thought, how the fuck can we be so bad if all those matrix are good? And I then looked at clean breaks. And if you look at clean breaks, you mentioned it a week or two ago, Rob, a missed tackle. Is a missed tackle when someone goes through a gap and clean break and scores? Well, I looked at it the other way round. We've made 111 clean breaks this year. Matty Ashton's made the most. But you know when you see Matty Ashton make a clean break and then it actually doesn't come to something because he doesn't draw the man right, or he throws it into touch or something like that. It seems like that's the same with Warrington Wolves. Because we've scored 85 tries this year. And if you rank all the teams in terms of clean breaks, and if you rank them all in terms of tries, and you look at tries as a percentage of clean breaks, in other words, how many clean breaks potentially lead to tries or a position where you score a try from? Warrington are the 11th worst team, only to lose a worse at making a scoring a try from a good position. So suddenly, I don't think defence is our issue, really. It's the fact that we're not scoring points, we're not putting pressure on other teams by scoring points. The Castleford game, exactly, when we were ahead and we were only 12-0 up at half-time, when all our possession, all our chances, perhaps we should have been 24 points up and well clear. No, we don't put teams to bed. We are the 11th worst team at doing it. And that's why we've ended up with our worst league finish in 146 years.
So, Dennis, on that point then, what's going to change to make that better?
Oh, I see. You're coming back to the spin doctor, are you?
Yeah.
Well, what's going to change quite clearly is the defence. So I don't think you could say that, you know, we need to do things better. You've got to score more points because you've let so many points through. So it becomes a harder job to score more points. So you've got to fit the defence. And I think jumping to Darrell's defence, I think he knows that. And I think I haven't got an answer for this, have I? Am I breaking up? Yeah. Sorry. Bad line.
I mean, you look at this back line. Yeah, okay, Dufty. Yeah, good asset, can score points. But let's go through the rest of them. We've got Minikin. I mean, come on. Has Minikin been the signing of the season? No, of course he hasn't. Matautier has declined. He's going to be older next year. Wardle, rumour is he's on his way back to Huddersfield unless we can swap him for another player. Connor Wrench, out for 9 months. Ratchford, back in the halves. An underperforming marquee signing in Williams. Widdop gone. Where's these points coming from next year, Sam? I don't see it.
Well, Williams' numbers are actually very, very good. I think, we've talked about him before, whether he's worth the money, all that type of thing. He needs a foil. He needs, well, Dufty can be that. I mean, a season with Dufty, and maybe we will start to convert some of these chances.
I think I've not give up on Williams. And I think, you know what, sometimes you see players get a bit of a boost in World Cup. So hopefully, you know, he'll come good next season. I think that's probably where I'm at on Williams. But in the halves now, isn't it funny that we're now looking at the halves and the outside backs after having a season of, you know, going on about forwards and, you know, to a certain extent, resolving that one. Now are we going to be looking to 2023 and saying, well, what about the outside backs or what about the halves?
We've got five different half-back pairs this year, and Widdop and Ratchford lead the way. They've won 50% of their games. Ratchford and Metautier won 33%. But the bottom three all have Williams in. Ratchford, Williams, Williams, Widdops, Williams, Dean. Now, I'm saying that if you converted Williams into Breers, he wouldn't be in the bottom three. If you converted Williams into Langer, if you converted him into whole numerous Monaghan, who else have we had? I mean, all these different halves we've had over the years. Greg Mackey, none of those halves would be anywhere near the bottom of the winning percentages. They'd be dominating the top because they dominate games.
What makes me feel it's slightly strange is that Williams is our second best meter maker and the one who's carried the ball most. I wouldn't expect him to be the second best meter maker and the second most carries. I'd be expecting him to be passing the ball to other people and putting them into gaps where I wonder whether he's trying to do too much himself.
I wonder if those stats are right, because when we've actually looked at the stats, and I had the lad from the Canterbury Bulldogs go over a Warrington game. Remember that time when we had Danny Walker? Did he make And I got the lad from the Bulldogs at work who does the stats for them to do the... he came up with like 13 tackles less than what Warrington had. It was nowhere near what the Super League... I just wonder who comes up with some of these stats. You know, how much flexibility is there in one chap who's sitting in Yorkshire going, okay, that bloke made about 8 yards there, compared to the pessimist who's sitting in Lancashire.
It's done on GPS. They all wear GPS things for that. The one thing I would agree with is if Clark and Mulhern make a tackle, and then just as it's just finished, Ben Curry comes running in and helps finish him off. Does Curry get a tackle for that or not?
Well, apparently, Danny Walker gets them for not tackling at all, just standing 20 metres to the side. I think it was 13 he got extra. So,
are you not going to reach out to Lorna Doone, Sam, and ask her if what the actual technicalities around that are?
Well, let's see what we can do with that then, maybe.
I tell you what the technicalities around that are. Incompetence. That's what the technicalities are.
That's a bit harsh.
It's like the whole competition is fucking useless.
Oh, anyway, he's off.
Sorry. No, I'm not depressed. I made the bad mistake this week, boys, of watching some NRL.
Anyway, couple of other things. Do you want to know how our forwards have compared?
Oh, yes.
Robbie Mulhern, 277 carries for 1,881 metres so far at 6.8 per run, 96% on his tackling.
Joe What's Bullock, the world-class number there, Sam? Is it 9 metres or something like that? Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, you're looking at that sort of thing. Joe Bullock, 245 carries for 2,004 metres at 8.2 average and a 97% tackle. I think Bullock does seem to have improved as the season's gone on.
Could he score some tries next year? Could we move him into the back line? Could he play halfback?
He could, couldn't he? Whereas Chris Hill has been out injured for a bit, but to give you some comparisons...
Oh, he's going on about Chris Hill then, isn't he? He's
kind of letting go.
8.3 metres per carry. So Bullock compares well with that. Rob Mulhern doesn't. Mike Cooper, 8.5 metres per carry. But Cooper's defence, actually nowhere near as good as Hill, Mulhern or Bullock. Only 93% of his tackles are effective.
He seemed to play pretty well for Wigan on the weekend.
Well, the difference is, I guess, when you're in with a team that's dominating, your positive contributions of going forward and offloading help them achieve points rather than your one or two negatives don't get covered up.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying there, Sam, because if, like, you're playing in a good team in comparison to the worst team in 146 years.
Oh, and he's gone now. Knew it had happened. He knows he's got to cut this motherfucker together as well.
This week, the UK Dentistry Association announced it was becoming progressively short of dentists. A new advertising campaign will target sixth form colleges in the desperate attempt to lure more graduates to take up the 7-year degree. It is expected Colgate or Maclean's would fund the project, but with Warrington surviving the season by the skin of their teeth and their fans saying watching the team is as harrowing as root canal surgery, a sponsorship deal is expected to be signed with the Wolves. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, that manufacture the little magic blue pill Viagra, are set to launch an updated super pill. The improved Primrose and Blue tablet will focus on soft cocks that have no staying power and, when forced into a sticky situation, buckle under limited pressure. And finally, as Boris Johnson sets to step down as PM, speculation mounts as to how he will fill his time. It is believed, with his key attributes of incompetence, underachieving, completely straying away from the main agenda, coming across as a clown, and the ability to spin bullshit without anything seeming to stick, he would fit perfectly within rugby league management. Although a spokesman at the Halliwell Jones said there seemed nothing more he'd be adding to the currently filled position.
In disastrous news, 20-year-old Connor Wrench has undergone extensive knee surgery. Wrench sustained an ACL injury during Wyre's win against Toulouse. He's expected to be away from the game for a staggering 9 months. How's your knee, Dennis? You were up Scarfell Pike the other weekend. Any better? You're going to be out for another 9 months?
Think he's gone again.
Let's hope that's the end. Right, he's gone. Wyre centre Tobias King, currently on loan at Huddersfield Giants, will not return to the Halliwell Jones next season, but go on a year's loan to the pie-eating scum. King told the Wigan website, "I'm really excited to meet everyone involved at this prestigious club and compete at the very top for some trophies." By the end of the 2023 season, King will have 2 years of his contract still to run at Warrington. Now, I noticed, I think I read in the Warrington Guardian this week, Sam, that the Gypsies have moved into the Marks and Spencer's car park. Will Toby be joining them? Has he become a traveller now? Is that what he's going to be for the next 3 years?
He could be roaming around the rugby league scene of the North West, and couldn't he?
I'm really worried about just how much of the salary of King that the Pieters are paying. I bet you it's not much. I bet you it's not even half. I mean, of all pickles that we've come up with recently.
Yeah.
This 4 years that King signed, he must be absolutely laughing his way all the way to the bank. No one wants to touch him with a barge pole because he's on too much. I seem to remember at the time before he signed for Warrington, Wigan were very shrewd in putting the price up. They kept putting the price up so Warrington had to bid more. We've got Wardle, I'm told, possibly is not that happy at Warrington. And if he is to come to Warrington next year, they've got a very shrewd businessman there that knows he's got Warrington by the short and curlies and wants something in exchange. They're not just going to give us Wardle. So this King calamity that started by a 4-year signature, whoever came up with that, just beggars belief.
We've talked before, haven't we, Rob? It's not the 4 years, it's the cost of the 4 years. I still say he's a decent player, but he's not a top player. We're paying top money for an okay player. That's the problem.
Dennis, are you back with us? No, he's gone again.
No, he's just the Emperor's. If it's a shame, it's the Emperor's new clothes or the King's new clothes, isn't it? Someone has suddenly gone, actually, is he that good?
Just epitomises everything about the club at the moment. Everything that stinks about the club. I think this one really was the one that just sort of says, what are we doing? Who is in charge? I mean, you mentioned a few weeks ago, you said to me, I think was it Gatcliffe who you'd had a few dealings with? And he was a shrewd financial chap who'd come from a financial background who, if you wanted some stationery, you had to sign for it before you took a rubber out of the stationery cabinet. Anyway, so I digress. But, I mean, it just different, wasn't it, back then? You know, you've got an accountant sort of running the club.
Everything. And in some ways, you could possibly argue that it wasn't... he was too tight. It's getting that balance right, isn't it? It's finding the correct balance between the two. That's the problem.
But we knew when we watched King, you know, we used to joke about King that he was a one-trick pony. You know, he had this kick to the corner for Toby King. You know, Dennis and I, very early on, said he's flat-footed. You could see when he ran he was flat-footed. So why on earth did they pay all this money for? Who is the person in the background going, oh, he's going to be the next Jonathan Davies, or he's going to be the next Matt King? Or I don't get it.
Actually, of the two you've mentioned there, probably Matt King, and not just because of the similar surname. Matt King is probably more of an equivalent, a big, tall, strong guy who's going
with,
to do stuff.
With speed.
Yeah, well, that's the negative, isn't it? He's never seemed to have acceleration. Once he's got going, he's fine, but he seems to take a while to get going. And rugby league in so often is about the explosion off the mark, isn't it? And that little first half yard of pace, that's what Davies had. I mean, I know you saw Phil Blake. I only ever saw him on the TV. I never saw him live. But the thing with Davies, for me, was that first couple of steps where he got himself away from people. And that's what you don't see with
Toby King and Jonathan Davies. Not just they're not on the same page, they're not in the same book.
I agree, Rob. I'm just saying you raised John. Did anyone think he was going to be the next Jonathan Davies or Matt King? Well, if anyone actually did, then they were wearing strange glasses, weren't they?
There's no one going to the games. Everyone's stopped going. Everyone I know has stopped going. It's such a mess, and we all talk about this. We all talk about this ridiculous situation with King and everything else is going on at the club. I've just got no confidence in this club at the moment. I mean, Mrs. London, you know, she doesn't really follow any sport, but she's a great person to go to just to sort of get a few comments. She just rolls her eyes at Warrington Rugby. I mean, she just pisses her sides when she sees the incompetence at the club compared to the, you know, TV organisation she works for. It's that's why I didn't bother going when I came over to the UK. I'm not paying my money to watch that bunch of clowns that's been run at the moment.
Can you turn your kettle off? Can you turn your kettle off? The problem is, mate, is it's taking power off the Wi-Fi and I keep dropping out. All right. All right, I'm back.
Dennis, do you want to comment on the Toby King contract situation? Could you sum it up in a couple of words, perhaps?
Clusterfuck.
Rob Sunny London has just unloaded 8 months of frustration.
No, I've not, Sam. I've unloaded about 40 years of watching Warrington, apart from a very small window when we had Tony Barrow in charge and Les Boyd out there on the field. I've had to put up with it for a bloody long time. I mean, the laws of physics. You know that they say that if you put a bunch of chimpanzees in a room, at some point they will definitively write the whole complete works of Shakespeare.
Yes.
I have a funny feeling they'll get there before Warrington do. Oh, Oh dear. Toulouse Olympique's Corey Norman has been banned for 8 Super League matches. A tribunal found him guilty of a grade F charge of contrary behaviour. The tribunal was entirely satisfied that Norman had intentionally placed his hand between Olivier Holmes' buttocks. Norman, for the record, pleaded not guilty. Former Super League and LRL coach Nathan Brown has spoken on a podcast about the contrast between rugby league in the northern and southern hemispheres. To paraphrase Brown, he said, "I have a lack of confidence in Super League outside backs making a successful switch to the NRL." Brown also remarked, "But I'd hang my hat on English forwards. The challenge for the forwards in England is very different to Australia, but it gets them ready to come to Australia and dominate. If you watch English forwards like James Graham, John Bateman, Sam Burgess and Elliot Whitehead, they all started playing first grade at 17. The British game in the winter is slow and tough, but you get the shit beaten out of you. A kid in Australia doesn't get that. The young English forwards, they get a real tough grounding early on. You can bet that they're going to be good in the NRL." He went on to say, "The game in England is refereed differently." We've kind of mentioned this before, Sam, haven't we, that the backs just seem to struggle in the NRL. They're not quite big enough. You know, Hardacre was just thrown around like a rag doll. Tompkins lost interest very quickly.
Gildart, Watkins, Sargentson.
The last one I remember, the last good back I remember that came to Australia was Andy Currier. Andy Currier had 2 years at Balmain. I think the first year at Balmain, he was probably the best centre in the comp. But, I mean, what, 30 years ago? 20 years ago?
Yeah, probably 30. Mid-90s, early 90s maybe.
They used to call him the bottle top because he was so white. Inverted racism in Australia. We do it both ways here. In a bit of old news, 6 Warrington players will be leaving the club at the end of the season. The club finally patched a statement together to tell us what we already knew. The departing players are captain Jack Hughes with 169 appearances, Gareth Widdop scoring 20 tries from 49 games, Matt Davis, 69 matches over 4 seasons, Robbie Mulhern giving his all over 50 performances, Jason Clark wearing the primrose and blue 82 times since joining in 2019, and a brief cameo from Kyle Armour. Kind of knew they were all going, Sam, didn't we? The one I would like to see stay is Widdop, you know, with the pack that we've got last year. He'd be the one that we're crying out for.
Well, I think when we look at Widdop, I've been disappointed with Gareth Widdop, but not really with him individually, but with what we've got out of him in terms of he's had a couple of bad injuries. He had that run where suddenly you saw the class that he's got, didn't you? You saw a few little touches. I remember a game against Hull, at Hull, where he fainted with a couple of dummies this way and that, and the whole Hull team were going in the wrong direction. And he just shows his touches of class, but the money we're paying, the number of games he's missed, you know, it is a shame, but we just missed out on his best time, I guess.
The mascot for this year's Rugby League World Cup has been chosen. The mascot will be known as Rugby. Throughout October and November, you'll find the buzz buzzing about at every World Cup game.
I've cut out more times than a debt pattern stutter pass.
Are you back, Dennis? I've just sent you a message. Are you back for, what, 10 seconds? How long are you going to last this time?
I've no idea. I think every time somebody drives past, they break the Wi-Fi signal.
Jeez. Well, we've moved on to rugby, Dennis. Rugby, our new mascot.
Have we?
For the World Cup,
Looks like Zippy.
I've come up with a little quiz for you on bees.
Oh,
are you ready, Sam? You got pen and paper there, Sam, to take notes? Okay. Numerous Rochelle rugby league teams were formed in 1866 onwards, leading to them amalgamating together in 1871 to become Rochdale Hornets, or as they used to say on BBC Radio Manchester, Rochdale Hornets. He used to drop his H's. A name suggested by the Rochdale Wasps director. What other names were suggested apart from the Hornets? Dennis?
Dragonfly.
Ooh, very close. Very close.
Mayfly.
Oh, you're both wrong. It was grasshoppers or butterflies. Thought maybe we could rename Warrington.
The Rochdale Butterflies.
Well, it's on the edge of the moor, isn't it?
The aggressive float like a butterfly, team. Sting like a hornet.
Yeah. What is a bee's favourite novel?
A Taste of Honey.
Oh,
very good. Very good.
We'll give that one to Dennis. I had The Great Gatsby written down, but I think we'll give a point to Dennis. Bees pollinate what percentage of the world's crops? You want to go first, Sam?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say it's a lot lower than you think. I'm going to say 10%.
Dennis, do you want to go higher or lower than the ridiculous 10% Sam's just said?
A lot lower than the ridiculous 10%.
You're going lower? It's 75% of the world's crops. Okay.
Rubbish. Absolute nonsense. Where have you got that from?
Listen, all of a sudden his Wi-Fi's as clear as a whistle. Have you noticed that? It just comes in, doesn't it?
I heard the Adam Mountford saying that wasps pollinate more than bees do.
So we're
putting them all in one. But I've wondered where Wikipedia is getting this information from.
How dare you? What is the top speed in miles per hour of a honeybee? Dennis?
In miles per hour? Nine.
Oh. We got how low is that?
9.5.
Sam's got it. Top speed of a honeybee is 20 miles an hour.
Bloody hell. To be fair, I was only going to say 10 anyway until you went to him first.
Right, now I've got a few. Now let's pretend the honeybees, he's got the ball under his wing and he's broken away downfield. I want you to tell me which insects would catch him and which insects wouldn't. Okay? All right. Insect number one, a dragonfly. Sam?
Yes, that would catch him.
Would. 90 miles an hour a dragonfly can go at. Has Dennis gone? Because he's not going, oh, fuck off, I don't believe that. No,
All I was basing it on was in The Rescuers, they had a dragonfly powering the motorboat, didn't they, you see?
Right, I'll just freeze it for a sec. We'll just stop for a second and see if he comes back. Yeah.
Good luck, we're doing this one in time for
I'm not doing this again. This is it. If he's away, we're just not recording. The last two have been a fucking nightmare as well.
Here he comes. You think he's back?
You guess what I've just done? I've just put my umbrella up to act as an aerial on the iPhone.
Yeah. Has that worked? Has
Bloody
it?
Hell. Yeah. I'm here. Jeez. Have we finished the bees?
No, you're 7-0 in the quiz at the moment. We've just moved on to which insects are quicker or slower than bees. So I'm glad you're back.
Okay. Sorry about this.
A moth.
What?
Is a moth quicker or slower than a bee, Dennis?
Quicker.
It is. 33 miles an hour a moth can go at.
Wow.
A butterfly. Quicker or slower than a bee, Sam?
Oh, we're going to say slower. There must be a slower one somewhere.
Well, you're wrong. The Western Indian butterfly goes at 28 miles an hour.
Oh, the Western Indian. Oh, I thought you were talking about...
rubbish.
Housefly. Dennis, quicker or slower than a bee?
Quicker.
They're shit. They only go 5 miles an hour.
Oh, no wonder I can always swat the bastards.
They dodge about a bit. Oh, here's one for you, Dan. Yeah. Here you are, Sam. Faster or slower than a bee? A mosquito.
Ooh. Slower.
Dennis?
Yeah, I would say slower.
What speed? Have a go for the speed of a mosquito. This came as a...
7.5 miles an hour.
Oh. 4?
Yeah.
No, still too high. 1.5 miles an hour. It's the slowest insect that takes flight. There you go. A wasp. Quicker or slower than a bee?
Oh, quicker.
Yeah, it is.
Quicker.
Five miles an hour quicker. 25 miles an hour. And the last one.
Jeez.
I should just say that the dragonfly is the second quickest insect in the world. This is the third quickest insect in the world. How fast do you think a ladybird flies at?
I don't know.
Based on the dragonfly, we're going to say 45 miles an hour.
Not far, Sam. 37 miles an hour. So that completes the B section. So
thankful for that.
That was the best section of this entire hour and a half.
Did I do the number one?
I just wish I could have heard it.
Did I tell you what the number one is?
No.
Hang on, I'll just look it up. I'll look it up. Richie Myler's fly.
Jesus.
The last track Dave Lee Travis ever played on Radio 1 was A, the B-52s, B, B.B. King, or C, Beyoncé?
B.B. King.
B.B. King, yeah.
It's a trick question, lads. It was actually Sting. And finally, marketing group IMG put out a survey this week to rugby league fans entitled Tell Us Your Thoughts. The survey covered several areas including participation, events, broadcasting and competition structure. I've received Dennis's form he's filled out. On the question regarding what you currently think about Super League broadcasting, Dennis filled it in and wrote, Bill Arthur is as interesting as listening to my grandmother eating nuts without her false teeth in. Whereas Sam, with him on the verge of buying a holiday home in France, only had his self-interest at heart, becoming increasingly agitated by AMG possibly hinting at dropping the French sides. Did you do the survey, Sam? Did you have a look at it?
No, I've got it in my inbox. I've not dealt with it yet.
It's heavily weighted with what they've already decided to do.
Is it leading you down a certain
what do you think France gives to the competition?
Yeah.
Would you be concerned if France left the competition? If all France rugby league players were fuckheads, would you want them in the comp? Isn't it, Dennis? It's just so...
Yeah, it's just giving the numbers to back up what they've already made the decision on.
It's shit.
If they did to do that, that would be such a retrograde step.
Well, if it goes so...
Narrow-minded, insular, inward thinking, which will only make the game smaller and smaller.
Talk about the French.
I don't know.
What if it made the properties lower, Sam? Would you be more for it then?
No, because I'm for the greater good.
Bullshit.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. Troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know. People are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Oh, damn. Oh, what a marvellous idea to put on a wine-tasting evening. Why, I haven't seen such vintage on show since we signed Kirk Gidley at the age of 46. pray tell, Dazza, what are you offering up to cleanse one's palate?
The flimsiest of wafer thin crackers.
Well, that's no way to talk about our right-edge defence. Oh, good heavens, Daryl. Look at the state of the bar. Has someone spilt the wine?
Now, Ralphie, that's Waiter Williams. We let George sample a few tipples earlier. Turns out he cannot hit a spittoon at 10 paces.
Oh, and what have we got to sample, Darrell? Is there something for everybody?
Oh, absolutely, Ralphie. Just like that. We've got a crisp, charny lime.
Oh, it does taste a bit flat and disappointing, which isn't surprising. Have a case shipped over to my mate, Derek Bumonto. He's used to taking our unwanted sediment.
You'll like the next one, Ralpho. It's a Petermeer Turlio Tash 2022.
A full-bodied, heavy, slow aroma. It's clearly a season or two past its best.
Could I interest you in a slightly infused, spicy curry Shiraz?
Oh dear, that's definitely cooked. And by no means has the legs for the entire evening.
Oh, try the Sauvignon King, Ralphie.
Oh, my word. That really reaches up high to the back of your taste buds. How much is the last one, Darrell?
Well, it was flavour of the year, Ralphie, but it's bargain basement now.
Oh, yes. Following all its hype, it was clearly overpriced. Advertise it as 2 for 1 for the day, Darrell, and let's see if anybody waddles off the street to buy it.
Well, how about tasting our marquee Australian heavy-bodied Savour Non?
Oh, yes. It's definitely got legs. It's got potential, Darrell. I think it would go lovely with a barbecue. Wait a minute. It's still got elements of grapes in it.
Oh, sorry, Ralphie. I got Duffy to crush the grapes. But what with his extra bow in his foot, he didn't quite have the dexterity to get in the corner of the barrel. Oh, by the time he'd finished, Ralpho, he looked like Professor Broomhead's hemorrhoids the morning he tried to shit out one of Benny Westwood's sausage baguettes.
And who's that over there taking all this very seriously? Is he a wine critic?
No, Ralphie. That's Jason Oz Clark.
That's so disappointing. It's supposed to be a light-hearted evening, Darrell. His lacklustre attitude is bound to turn the evening into a bit of a... Please get that jukebox fixed, Darrell. You have had all year. Quick, Darrell, before the night turns sour, open the RFL pomane.
Is it time to change the tinkers, winkers?
Oh, not now, Thomas. I'd like to make a toast, Ralphie. Ladies and gentlemen and people from north of the river. As you know, my taste buds are sensing we're building something special here. I'd like you to raise your glasses to wish the pub all the success in the world as we enter the final rounds of Establishment of the Year.
Don't shake the bottle too much, Dazza. You are getting a bit carried away, aren't you? Steady now, Tiger. Oh, tackle sacks. Ooh, well, Matt, T-R-Y, try. You shot your load higher than the last time I watched my Twickenham Arikoro VHS recording.
Didn't she get her cleavage out for the other code, though, Ralphie?
Yes. But unfortunately, my Betamax copy of Claire Balding's presenting Crofts while stroking her hairy shih tzu is completely worn out. Now, where on earth did the cork go, Dazza?
Oh, my goodness! Looks like it's gone right up Fitzpatrick's Gary Glitter.
Oh, dear, doll. Still, I guess it's the only chance he'll ever get with the RFL of becoming the leader of the pack.
That's very good, Ralphie.
Oh.
See what you did there.
Anyway, Daryl. Probably best we bring the night to a close. Put the remainder of the cases in the cellar. You know, with the other 60-odd years of disappointment.
I thought this episode would be right up my street. Some wine, some cheese, a lovely evening, talking about the game that I love and care about. And then I've just listened to 5 minutes of Ralph Rimmer. Who on earth came up with that? Who on earth had to do that? Bloody hell. I thought he was gargling with some of Richie Myler's at some point, you know?
We thought you'd like it, Sam. It was everything you liked. Wine, you know what I did like?
You know what I did? I did go down. I thought there was going to be some love interest. I thought Tanya Arnold, sorry, or whoever she is, was going to come back, because when you mentioned Jason Oz Clark, for our younger listeners, Oz Clark used to be on a programme called Food and Drink, and him and Jilly used to do a little bit of wine tasting and food pairing. So where was Jilly? Yeah. If Oz Clark was there, where was the love interest?
I was actually thinking more. What's it, the guy from Top Gear Clark?
James May.
Yeah. When they did that, didn't they?
They went off on a big bus around the place.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't whatever you do, Wikipedia how old Oz Clark is now, Sam. It'll just depress you.
Oh, you're joking.
Any day now, mate. Any day now. Right, we'll wait for Dennis to get back.
Oh, he's gone again. Bloody hell.
Of course he's gone. He's stick his umbrella up his arse.
Oh, dear.
I might text him. Where's that umbrella up your arse?
I just moved the umbrella. Yeah.
Oh, he's back. Oh, hello.
Basically, the umbrella's acting like a parabolic, and I just sort of moved it off the Wi-Fi signal. So, sorry about that. You're annoyed now, aren't you? Are we going to release this in 2023?
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Well, this is it, everyone. Wire's last two games to predict before the season comes to a disappointing premature end. Warrington will finish with a couple of games away from home, starting with a trip to Huddersfield on Bank Holiday Monday, and then it's back down the hill to Salford on Saturday. Before we predict, here's Hal Computer with his final predictions.
Hello, my name is Hal, the Wat Bevan Computer. Well, thank fuck this prediction bollocks is coming to an end. It's getting right on my silicon tits. Round 26. Huddersfield 21, Warrington 19. Round 27, otherwise known as, Who Gives a Shit? Salford 28, Warrington 17.
Well, I mean, I keep nailing this every week, Sam. I have to say that I'm so far ahead in the prediction scoring this. Due to my pessimism, it has taken me to the top of the charts. Any wins out of the last two games?
Anything for us?
Oh!
That, all I'm going to say is Huddersfield, we owe them one. We're going to go to Huddersfield. We're going to be our best performance of the year. We're going to score 38 points and keep them down to just 18. No, maybe 16. 38-16. Before we then go to Salford and lose 52-0.
Gin's kicked in.
Oh, now, do Huddersfield still need to win? Are Huddersfield in the mix to actually get?
Oh, yeah. But they're guaranteed minimum fourth place. They're guaranteed with their points difference.
Oh, yeah. They're up there. Oh, they're up there. Oh, that's right. They're the team that got the coach we should have got.
Yes.
Oh, silly me. Oh, I'd forgotten about that. We were too busy dealing with the King contract, probably. Dennis?
Well, if I remember rightly, when we was looking at this with six games to go, I said we'd lose against Wigan and Leeds and we should win all the others. We're close with Castleford. So.
But we didn't win it, did we, Mr.
Yeah, but
Spin
Doctor. It was so close. So I'm still going for a win against Huddersfield and a win against Salford. Right, Sam, I think we'll have our best game against Huddersfield and we'll beat them easy.
I'm not talking to you. I've got to edit this. You're up there in bloody
Scotland.
Do you want
me to go?
Jesus.
Shall I go now?
I'm going for two losses. I'm going for a Huddersfield win and a Salford obliteration. Okay, that's it. We'll be back to take a closer look at Warrington's shit show of a season after the grand final. So talking of grands, he's the grandfather of our podcast. It's a grand goodbye from Sam.
All the best.
And he's no grandfather, but the godfather to the show. It's a lookout for a severed-headed horse in your bed from Dennis.
The senior.
Fuck for that. I'm Rob London. After several evenings in Mississippi Showboat, I'm probably the father to numerous illegitimate children. Just don't seek me out for maintenance payments. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Jesus. Well, I do apologise. I did pick the camps out with the best Wi-Fi and it's shit. Devoted to you.